Welcome to the next episode of Takeoff, a podcast where we dive into trends and technologies shaping the future of aviation, automotive, automation, and much, much more. Today, I'm joined with Andrew. Thanks so much for joining me today, Andrew. How's it going?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So tell me and our viewers where you are right now.
Right now, I'm inside the Arrigo ADT3. This is where I spend a lot of my days working on the vehicle.
Very cool. So this is our first podcast where we are actually on location inside the vehicle itself. And ADT is Auto Dolly Tug, for those of you out there that are just beginning to learn about Arrigo. Andrew, tell me just what is your role at Arrigo and where you're based?
Yeah, I lead the ADS or Autonomous Drive Software Development Team in North America. I'm based out of Ottawa, but right now we're here in Cincinnati at CBG Airport, working on our deployment year where we have a single vehicle and working towards autonomous delivery of ULDs around the airport.
Very cool. And that is our U.S. office location. And it's actually in the old Delta Cargo Hub, isn't that right?
That's correct. That's where we are right now. You can see lots of flow packages and stuff around us.
Very cool. And it's so neat to see a little bit inside the vehicle itself. I know when we put this into editing, we try to show some of the vehicle in motion. So it's nice to have a little inside view of the extremely safe, as I see the two fire extinguishers there. So we're a safety first organization all the way. So tell me just a little bit about your past. You know, I know that you're newer to the company and you've been with us, I mean, a little over a year now. Is that right?
Yeah, about a year and a half.
Time is flying by. So you're really not new, but newer than, for example, I just interviewed Maria. And of course, Maria's been with the company since we started in the autonomous software division and getting into autonomy. And I know you and her work really closely. So, you know, just tell me a little bit about how you got into the field of automation in your background.
Yeah, I got into the field, I guess, a lot in university. I joined a lot of different student teams working on sort of different technical challenges. There's tons of great sort of student challenges at different universities in the robotics space. And I ended up working on a team that did a lot of like small mobile robotics competitions. And that's kind of how I discovered my passion for autonomous vehicles, working on a little bit smaller scale ones in university. And I really fell in love with the technical challenges, really excited me. And that's how I ended up coming across Arrigo and joining the company.
It's so interesting because, you know, you are like the next generation, really. And when I was in school, you know, nobody was talking about autonomous vehicles and there wasn't really programs and robotics. So it's really cool to hear that you kind of got into that, you know, earlier on, and that helped to drive your career from an early onset. So did you ever really, you know, kind of as a kid see yourself in, I don't know, the automotive aviation robotics space? Or what would you say younger Andrew wanted to do when he got older?
I was pretty lucky. I think from a young age, my parents really pushed me towards engineering, and I, you know, found myself falling in love with Legos and other bits and bobs as a kid. So my direction was always kind of obvious, I guess. I found myself playing with a lot of stuff. I got interested in more software development in college and university. And for a while, I thought I'd just be working in an office, you know, just working on a desk every day, writing software. But really, in the last couple of years during my master's, I fell in love with autonomous vehicles, and I learned there's a lot more fun to be had out on the, you know, the factory floor or in the cargo hub here in the vehicle, doing things that are especially challenging in the real world.
I think it's really interesting, too, because oftentimes people get kind of stuck in that one environment where they just code the software and then they send it off to the team to like input it. But I mean, I don't know about you. I think it's kind of neat to be able to go out and test your work real time. Just as like a learning experience as a whole, and almost a validation that the things you're doing really do make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the technical execution required to get stuff to work in the real world consistently, it is tough. It's another layer to the challenge, and it's really exciting to work on.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely takes a lot of time, a lot of different deployments. It's interesting. People always believe that we've been talking about automation for a while and autonomous vehicles. And I think because things like Tesla and Waymo are out and about in the world, people just assume that we're further along than we really are. And they also assume that, you know, it should be easy. Like everything should just be done and you should be able to, you know, call an autonomous vehicle on your phone, like an Uber, and it'll get you anywhere in the world without being mapped, for example, which we obviously map out our operational domains. But it's really not, like you said, you know, every operational domain is totally different. You know, here in Canada, as you know, we talk about, you know, the Canadian geese. I don't know, are they Canadian? They're not. but it's like, you know, you have to be able to attribute to those types of features and things that'll get in your way. What would you say, you know, being able to move from development through to reality, what has been kind of, what is your most exciting piece of work that you've done at Arrigo to date? And what's your most challenging? They might be the same, they might be different.
Yeah, I would say they're probably the same. I would say it's really especially interesting working on these technical problems in airports. You know, you talk about how there's a lot of technical challenges with autonomous vehicles that different companies deal with. It's really interesting, especially working in airports where a lot of these challenges are flipped on their head. You know, you talk about, you know, Waymo and Tesla, a lot of the things that they have to sort of dodge in their vehicles, right, are other vehicles that are close to them. But no one's really talking about these even almost harder technical challenges of like, how about seeing a plane from 200 meters away, right? When we're driving around these airports, we have to be especially careful around yielding our right-of-way to planes that are incredibly far away. And it's a whole new layer to the technical challenges to see these sort of objects from much further away that are much larger. But it's fun. So yeah, that's probably...
So I was just going to say, I was just talking about almost that same piece of tech and how you move that into automation and into, you know, the computer vision was, yeah, recognizing a plane. Like, that's so different than normal technology every day. And what does that look like for the right of way? So that's funny. You can tell you guys are in sync. and that might be even almost one of the challenges, too. I mean, you're in our Ottawa, Canada office. We have... the head of autonomy, Maria, and Simon, our CTO in the UK. And then you are now in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky International Airport, to try to implement these things. So many different time zones, different countries, really, our company is exciting. We're on a global scale, but I know that could, I'm sure, be challenging as well. So, you know, how do you find it working with people that are, again, so far away when you're kind of checking and validating your work?
Yeah, you're right. It can be a challenge, especially with our Singapore office. They're 13 hours ahead of us. So there really is no time where both of us are on core hours. So it does mean some early mornings or late nights. But in the other way, you know, the company never sleeps. There's always someone writing code, working on something at the company. It almost feels like we're more efficient in a way. You know, I can hand off a piece of software to the devs in Singapore and wake up to like a new iteration of it.
That's really cool to look at it that way. I don't think I've really thought of it in that perspective. Yeah, we're just constantly, we're shift workers. So yeah. All around the globe, depending on where we are. You know, I don't know about you, but have you ever even thought about really automation in the aviation space? And just my caveat with that is I look out the window now when I'm taking a flight and I'm like staring at the baggage tractors and identifying how and where and what kind of ULDs are, you know, loading onto a plane, which I never thought I would do. How has this job kind of changed your perception on travel?
Oh, it has completely changed my perception. I think I had no appreciation for how incredibly complex and crazy airports are. It's remarkable, like, how many moving pieces there are, so many different things moving around. It really, like, just amazes me that my luggage, like, doesn't get lost more often, you know? It's crazy just how many people there are, so many moving parts. I used to look out the plane, you know, and see some pretty lights or see the scenery change. And I was like, oh, it's really nice. And now I look out there and I'm staring at all the bags, trying to figure out, like, why are they doing things in this way, loading in this order? Yeah, it's incredible.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's something I never thought I would do either. And speaking on how many moving parts and what it looks like to operate in that environment, you know, give us a little background. What does it take to be able to get behind the wheel of one of these vehicles? Because I'm sure a lot of people don't understand that you kind of have to go, I mean, not kind of, you have to go through some of the same steps as the regular ground handling team does.
Yeah, we have to be fully licensed to drive in the airport, just like the ground handlers here, which involves like multiple steps of training and licensing to be approved to drive around the airport, which is, you know, there's a lot of extra rules. There's a lot to learn, and you're actually tested on it, just like a driver's test, you know, when you're young and 16, going through all those steps. It's really the same thing, but there are a lot more moving parts around. There's a lot more to keep track of. When you're driving around, you're constantly, you know, looking for these planes that you have to yield to, looking at what other people are doing. And people at airports, they drive a little bit crazier, you know, they're not afraid to you know, they want your bag to make it to the plane, and they'll put the pedal down if they have to make that happen.
That's so funny. And, you know, I know that part of the test, it's almost like a two-part driving test, right? So you have to come back in the evening to actually drive at night.
Yeah, you have to do daytime and nighttime driving. I didn't think much of it before I did it, but, you know, nighttime driving is really important. It's incredible how much kind of hides in the dark. You know, I was surprised to just like almost not even see a plane. You can only really see the beacons and the lights on them. They hide in the dark. So yeah, it's challenging for really humans and autonomous vehicles.
I feel like that's something that we should take over into our testing when we are 15 and 16, taking these driver's tests. Like, why don't they actually think, oh, well, it might be a little different to drive at night for a teenager that's totally distracted. Maybe there's some lessons to be learned there. So when it comes to, like we said, what you're doing in the space, I know that you're working on actually being behind the wheel, right? So that means you're both manually driving the vehicle, and of course, you're, you know, the safety supervisor when the vehicle is moving in autonomous mode. You know, what do you get asked most about from your friends and family when you tell them what you're doing on a day-to-day basis?
Oh man. You know, there's so many questions. So many people, you know, they don't understand all the different airport operations, not to mention the sort of the complexities of an autonomous vehicle.
So you kind of start going through the sensors?
Yeah, you have to go through all the sensors. It's an incredibly complex stack to go. You go from sensor in, you start to try to interpret that information and make a perception estimate of what are the sort of different moving things around the vehicle, mm-hmm. to actually planning how the vehicle is going to move based around all these perception inputs. And then it goes all the way down through the electrical and mechanical engineering, where that software has to tell the wheels to move at, you know, at a certain velocity, and you know, the vehicle has to, you know, send different cooling commands around, you know, draw power from the battery. You know, I feel like I almost know nothing about this vehicle after working a year and a half on it. There's so much different niches of engineering and different corners of the vehicle that I don't even have enough appreciation for.
Right. Yeah. It takes a village really to make an autonomous vehicle.
It does.
And, you know, some element that we get to experience, which is, you know, fun sometimes, but not so fun probably in a work environment, is of course the adverse weather that we have in Canada. And actually, I know it was pretty crazy there a couple weeks ago during winter in CBG. It was snowing out. You know, I know that you're in our Ottawa office. Where are you from originally within Canada? Is it kind of the same, similar weather?
I'm from Newfoundland, Canada, which notoriously gets a lot of snow, a lot of fog, a lot of these adverse weathers that I've grown up with.
Okay, so see, and I still don't know the entire Canadian landscape being from the U.S. So, you know, I've actually never made it my way out to Newfoundland. It's on the list for sure. So it's interesting then, obviously, the weather is still there, the snow, the extreme cold. So that's an entirely different element that I'm sure you have to, you know, take into account when you guys are working through systems and deploying them at our office in Ottawa. Have you been able to kind of firsthand go out and you know, do some of the testing yet with the pods that we have there?
Yeah, absolutely. We're using the pods to test in Canada. We've upgraded them, so they've kind of got a smaller sensor suite that emulates some of our bigger vehicles like this one, so we can kind of get our hands dirty, get out in the snow, collect some of that data, and, you know, get some initial results before we kind of bring out the bigger vehicles.
Okay, very cool. I know we haven't had you over to the UK yet, so that'll be definitely the next big thing. I think that'll be exciting. And I think what's kind of cool about this job is, like, obviously you're in CBG now, but it will allow for you to kind of go out to some of these deployments as we roll out across, you know, the US and really North America. I think there's a lot of exciting travel to be had and a lot of exciting just learnings to be able to see, you know, what's different at this airport than that airport? Because, you know, everyone that we're working with already, it seems, has kind of a different process and policy and procedure, because there's really no, you know, blanketed checklist for autonomous vehicles yet, right? We're trying to, of course, help that, help regulatory bodies, help larger airports and airlines understand what that looks like. So if you had to say one place in the world that you would love to go and you hope that Arrigo wins a contract so that you can go there as part of Bork, where would you say?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I haven't even visited all of our current deployments. I'm looking forward to visiting Changi at some point for sure. But if I had to go anywhere, you know, California sounds great. Not too many weathers to give me a headache in my software development. And it's very, very good temperature. And there's a lot of awesome talent and companies out there that we can grow from and learn with.
Definitely. I would say Northern California more because, as you know, it'd be an entire new type of weather with all the crazy fires that we're seeing happening in Southern California. You know, it's where I'm from. So sad, so crazy. And again, just another piece of the puzzle that if you start to dig in, you know, and you think about, again, Waymo and Tesla operating in those environments with that smoke and haze, you know, you try to think it all through, I'm sure, as a developer. But again, yeah, really being in the thick of it, that really helps to test and showcase and see what the limitations are, right?
Absolutely. So
a lot of learnings to do. I always like to ask one last random question at the end of an interview, and it's pretty much the same for everyone. It is, what would you love to see autonomous that isn't now? So like Maria just mentioned, you know, cooking. I mean, there's technically, you know, box meals that can show up at your door, but she's like, I'd love somebody to come in almost like Way Before Your Time, the Jetsons. Don't know if you ever caught that back in the day. Okay. So, you know, you had the robot there and she would do everything for you. So what would be your amazing autonomous creation that isn't here today?
Oh, it's got to be the humanoid robots. They're on the horizon. They're very close.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love one kind of similar to the Jetsons where, you know, they come into my apartment, you know, do my dishes, fold my laundry, all these like tedious, not too fun tasks.
Yes.
That would be great.
Then it's done and dusted and you never have to think about it again. I love it. And you can do more software and coding and all this really cool stuff that you do at Arrigo. Well, we're glad to have you on the team. Excited that you're in the office with me in Canada. So it's very cool. I know we get to have our not as many frequent get-togethers because we're all so busy. But I do always look forward to when we get together. So thank you so much for joining me today. It's really cool to see the vehicle there on site at an airport. And I'm sure we'll have some really cool footage that was thrown in to show it in action. Have an awesome day, and I'm sure that we'll have you again maybe when you're at the next deployment so you can showcase all about the next coolest place that we go in North America. Okay, everyone, stay tuned for the next episode of Takeoff, where you'll learn even more about Arrigo and the team pushing forward innovation and transformation in the industry. Thanks so much.